Engage. Out of the park.
The NSR Media Network presents Out of the Park with Barry Davis, brought to you by aglaw.ca, Foundation Physiotherapy, The Jaywalk, and Timothy's Pub. This week, proud Canadian, even though he's a San Diego Padre, Cal Quantrill joins us and takes us inside the mind of a major league pitcher.
When you're asking yourself that question, am I tipping or am I doing this? The first thing you should ask yourself is, do I actually just suck today? And they're smashing the ball and I'm just looking for an excuse.
Right. Like, okay.
That is the first thing you need to ask yourself, because it's really, really easy as a pitcher just to be like, oh, I must have changed something today. They're just seeing the ball really well.
And now, Cal Quantrill, at the ripe young age of 24, speaks by far and away more eloquently than your host, Barry Davis.
That ain't bullcrap, man. What do you not know about things? That's insane, man.
Yep.
Anyhow, folks, I was just kidding.
I am much more
eloquent than that, Matt.
That's not, well, barely, but okay.
And Matt's not lying. Wait till you hear Cal Quantrill. We always thought Paul Quantrill was a very eloquent speaker.
Yep.
You ain't seen nothing.
Man, his son.
Cal's fantastic.
Yeah, and Paul's probably just sitting around going, yeah, that all came from Dad. Everything good from him.
That's my boy.
From me.
That's right. Yep. You're going to love this conversation we have with Cal Quantrill. Enjoy it. It's a lengthy one. We could split this one into three if we had to.
This is the new thing. By the end of 2020, this is part 17 with Rowdy Tellez.
Yes.
We went 4 hours with him. Rowdy's like, is this thing done yet? Nope. We have another hour to go.
Yeah. All right. Also on the show today, Matthew.
Yes.
Ask Barry Davis.
Yeah.
Our foul poll. And up next, Buzzergate. We discuss next on Out of the Park.
Ladies and gentlemen, girls and boys, the first pitch with Barry Davis.
The first pitch is brought to you by the Jaywalk, Julia and Company, and they've got a lot of real cool promotions that they've been having on their...
Mystery boxes are back.
Have you seen this?
Yeah. I love it. I love this stuff. Yeah, it's so cool. I would hope that my mystery box would, like, I would open it up and it would be a body part, like a hand. And you're like, wait a minute, there's a whole story here. Why is there a hand in this mystery box? Like a human hand or something, I don't know.
Speaking of...
Barry's like, I'm uncomfortable.
Yes, the Jaywalk, folks. Jaywalk.com. Go see Julia. She's the best. And she was very happy, Matthew, to find out that I found my Jaywalk pants.
Good. Unconfirmed rumors, though, that the box in the movie 7 at the very end was, in fact, a Jaywalk mystery box. Unconfirmed. Very unconfirmed. Although, I've heard these rumors.
Okay. Where do I go from there?
Buzzers? Hopefully there's buzzers. Yeah. Buzzers, man.
Okay, you want to talk about fact?
Yeah.
Talk about fiction. It is a fact that the Houston Astros cheated. There's no one denying that it happened. They had their little garbage can method. They did what they wanted to do.
Yeah.
Right? The team cheated. Then you have Jose Altuve, and we decide whether or not, is this true? Is it not true? And the thing is, when you see a story like that come out, and it's on a Twitter handle that you don't know, and it has this big news, sometimes people will go with it.
Yep. Okay.
You know what I'm trying to say is that everyone's assuming.
Yeah, but the other side of it is that who's more believable? Is what the Houston Astros are saying right now believable? I don't believe a damn thing coming out of their mouth.
Well, and that's the thing.
Right? So this person, the niece of the French bulldog of somebody down the street from wherever, claiming that they're wearing buzzers. Well, I don't know who this person is, but I sure as hell know that the Houston Astros are a bunch of dirty liars.
And that's the thing. That's the point. Because you look at the video, right? That little video of
Altuve,
right? And
people are doing lip reading. It's, you know, I'm wearing a piece, don't take my shirt off, whatever the hell it is.
Yes.
And he talks about being shy because there was an interview, was it with Ken Rosenthal?
Yeah, why didn't you want your shirt pulled
off? He's like, oh, I'm really shy. And then there's like 700 photos of Jose Altuve on Twitter with his shirt off and he's got wrist ripped, he's jacked, he's like...
And again, these are things that if it weren't for what was going on with the Astros, we may have given him, you know, a pass.
Benefit of the doubt.
Right. If he was playing for the Yankees, we would have, well, not the Yankees.
No, they're cheaters.
But you get my point.
I get your point. Yeah, and I've been trying to, because I knew that this chat was coming, right? And I had been trying to figure out which way I approach this or where do I stand with this stuff. And man, I think they're wearing buzzers. Like if you're going to orchestrate some stupid person in the center field, like relaying signs to some dude with a garbage can, they're wearing buzzers. Yeah. I believe it. At this point, why not?
You need to prove to me that it's not true.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Now somebody brought up, this is hilarious, right? Somebody brought up, like, are the 7, 8, 9 guys wearing buzzers? Or is it just the good guys?
Well,
so like you got the guy in the 9 hole that's like, wait a second, you were wearing a buzzer? Do you know how that could have affected my contract if I knew there was a curveball coming? Why didn't I get a buzzer? Can you imagine?
JPR and Sebia had a pretty funny tweet too. Matt, do you have the
tweet? Yeah, I do. Yeah, it's great. It's great. So this is JP Aaron Sebia having some interaction with, I'm assuming, Ryan Bose, who's a fan. Ryan's quote is, quote, this is so bad for the game. Be odd to think if this level of cheating happened that the Astros are the only one. Hoping my J's are clean. White shirt guy. Thoughts, JP Aaron Sebia? To which JP responds, so good. I love JP. Quote, ha. I hit a career 210. You think we were getting signs? It's a joke. It makes me upset what's been going on. Good news is I lay my head down every night knowing I did it the right way. End quote. I hit a career 210.
Isn't that great?
It's just, yeah. It's always nice when you can see guys that are completely self-effacing. Like he understands his position in the game. He understands his performance and he can make fun of himself about it, right? But you know what though, too, is, this is the thing. They're all cheating. Every team is doing something.
Yeah.
Everybody. What are we so shocked about?
Because I think we're shocked because they did a terrible job hiding it.
Well, yeah, but this is, look, guys and girls listening to this, the New England Patriots deflated footballs. It was proven. They also bugged a team's dressing room. Mm-hmm. It was also proven. And they're still champions, and they still have fans. Right?
Yep.
The Houston Astros are thanking the good Lord for all of this. Here's why.
I know where you're going.
This puts domestic violence and inappropriate comments to female reporters and all of that stuff, this puts it aside. In fact, they're probably saying, AJ Hinch, yo, man, thanks for this. This is great. Yeah. Oh, here's a little money under your door. Thank you. Right?
Yeah.
There's the first thing. The second thing, I am shocked. I'm not shocked by buzzers because that makes sense to me. I'm not shocked by garbage cans because, you know, you got to admire the hustle on that, right? That's a pretty good little plan they got going on. Here's what I'm shocked by. If you're Zach Greinke, who just arrived on the scene there, you were like, get me the F out of this circus. Mm. If you're Justin Verlander, who has been very open about pick a subject, he's
biting his tongue, right?
Get me the F out of here. I want out. Also, the Jays, you need to be going to Derek Fisher and going, Derek, let's talk about some of the things that you've seen. How can we implement some of this? Right? If you're Derek Fisher. Well, there was some rumor that Carlos Beltran went to the Yankees at one point, right? Mm-hmm. Not for his bat, but for his sign-stealing knowledge.
That's crazy.
It's crazy to me, right? But honestly, if you're Derek Fisher on the Blue Jays, Doesn't somebody from management go and look, listen, man, you're playing for us now. What's going on? He must know something.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And hey, what intel do you got? What can we use here?
That's a good point.
Right? I mean, I don't know. Why not, right?
You went in a direction I totally was not expecting you to with that. I thought you were going to say, the good thing about all this that has happened with the Houston Astros is there's an opportunity for Mr. John Gibbons to get back in the game.
But there's an opportunity for him to get back in the game in Boston. There's also an opportunity for him to get back in the game.
But his dream job's not in Boston.
Now, here's the deal, though.
John Farrell.
Yeah, that's actually pretty good. Yeah. Here's the deal, though. If you're Gibby, you want to come into this thorny hornet's nest that is...
First of all, Gibby wants to get back in the game, number one.
Yeah.
Number two, what state do the Houston Astros play in?
That would be Omaha?
Yes.
I know, it's Texas. Right? I got it, yes.
Gibby stays home.
I know.
And
now, truth be told, though, listen, you couldn't bring a better guy in to
perfect
just
situation.
Wallpaper over all this.
Yeah.
Because he'd come in and be like, be like, what's this guy saying? I don't understand what he's saying.
And, you know, they have, you know, their analytics guy. It's like, hey, Gibby, come here. I got to show you this this little thing here. And this is how we're going to cheat. We're going to see my iPad here, you know. When, and Gibby's like, that's a big phone you got there. Gibby ain't doing any of that. Gibby is not going in there to take advantage of technology.
He would be the perfect candidate to come in and just completely calm everything down. Everybody chills out. You know, Justin Verlander would have it's this veteran coach who comes in, players coach.
Yep. Manager, of course, we say.
Yeah, totally. But the point being is that
I don't know why, but they do.
Is that you got to ask yourself, if you're the Boston Red Sox, which way do you go here? Ron Washington recently came out and said, "Hey, I want to get back."
Nobody's even called him.
Somebody, Boston, call Ron Washington.
Yeah.
What's the alternative? Like, it's Ron Washington. Do you know what I'm saying? Bring him in. Listen, whatever he did in the past, because there's some stuff attached to his name too. Alex Cora just cheated his way through two World Series.
Yep.
And you want to bring in Ron Washington? How much experience does that guy have? Eons of it.
Yeah.
I would be lining up for that guy.
Yep.
I love Ron Washington. He's just a cute little guy too. Got little glasses on. He's just a cute little guy. Right? No? All right. Are we done?
We're done.
All right, good.
Up next, Matt is... you're going to ask me some questions. Yes, there he is. I'm Barry. He's Matt. Yep. Stay out of the park.
Out of the Park presents Ask Barry Davis.
Ask Barry Davis is brought to you by SeatGiant.ca.
Love them.
Yes.
Yes.
They're fantastic. And unlike those other places where you've got to pay in U.S. dollars.
Yeah.
And
more like poo-ass dollars, you know what I'm saying? Why do you continually put me on this show? Seriously. Like, you got to get some credibility. I need to be fired.
Hey.
Hey. What?
As Todd Stottlemyre's father said.
If you puke in it, you got to sleep in it.
You got to sleep in it.
Right, yeah, this is your fault.
SeatGiant.ca. You get your tickets. You save an extra 5% by using the promo code NSRmedia.
My parents just saved 5%.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Would you give them
400 and some odd dollars worth of Raptors tickets.
Yeah.
And they saved 5%.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say like Wiggles tickets. Oh,
news.
Did you hear the news?
What?
You didn't.
Are they coming?
No. Greg Wiggle. Right? The red Wiggle?
That's Simon.
No.
Yes.
Okay, that's not the one that I'm saying. Greg in yellow.
You just said the red.
Okay, the yellow. Greg.
The yellow's Emma.
Okay, the original Wiggle.
Yes, okay. I got you.
He was performing with them.
What?
He was performing on stage and he had a heart attack, but he's recovering.
Get the hell out of here, really?
Google him. Google him. He doesn't believe me, folks. Matt, the producer, does not believe me. Huh?
That sucks, man.
Oh, what? You confirming it?
Greg Wiggle.
Greg Wiggle, are you confirming the story that I just broke?
Nope. Has a cardiac arrest at a bushfire relief.
Boom.
This is 3 hours ago.
No.
This is only from 3 hours ago.
Well, it's an updated story, maybe. Is he recovering still?
Well, he looked old, eh?
Yeah, that's not what I want to know.
He's recovering in the hospital.
Wonderful. Okay, can we get back to Asbury Davis?
Yeah, dude, you brought this up.
Seatgiant.ca.
Yes.
Wiggles, yes.
Parents just bought Raptors tickets. It Greg was a fantastic Wiggle. Experience.
All right.
Greg Wiggle.
Question one.
Good Lord. Yes. This is awesome because the eloquence that will be coming from Cal Quantrill's mouth is a very... It's such a dichotomy between us two idiots trying to fumble our way through various parts of this show. Holy crap. Two questions. This is the Asbury Davis segment. It's easy to take part. NSRmedia.ca. Click on the Asbury Davis tab. That tells you how to do it. Otherwise, stay on Twitter. Use the Asbury Davis hashtag because it lets me see it easier. First question, at Likewise95. Check this out. What does the MLB do about the fact that there are probably more teams cheating than aren't?
Make it legal to cheat.
Legitimately, I think that's exactly what they should be doing. And listen, if you're going to be wearing a buzzer, you know there's a curveball coming, then pitchers need to be wearing a buzzer for something.
Yeah.
You know, like whatever that is. Like you could easily have it where the pitcher's got a buzzer on and it's telling whatever that is, listen, this guy on a 3-2 count, this is what he's looking for. Don't do that. Or something. Why? Or even better yet, why can't the catcher have a mic in his mask and be interacting with the dugout that allows him, you're updating the catcher on information. What about that is bad? If the batter knows that there's a curveball coming, the counteract to that would be the catcher knows, okay, I can be interacting with the guys on the bench going, okay, what's this guy looking for?
You know what? This is where technology needs to take a step forward in this.
Yeah.
Right? So you give a device to the catcher and the pitcher. So the catcher, instead of having to throw fingers down, just says two, right?
And you know what? That's not a bad idea.
Right?
Seriously. That isn't a bad idea. You know?
Yeah.
And because the catcher's mouth is obscured,
yeah,
you're not going to be able to lip read.
Exactly.
You know, Davis, you've been a little suspect through most of this show. Okay. But that was pretty good. That might be your finest moment yet. Wow. It's pretty good.
See, magic can be made.
Yes.
Under duress.
Magic's parents made him, right? Okay. Magic Johnson's parents made him.
Yeah.
Magic can be made. This is at Taylor Baker on Twit. I guess Twit's Twitter. Is Jose Bautista reinventing himself as a pitcher?
It is so incredible. I was just about to say to you, Matt, before we get to the next question, did you see
the video?
Yes.
Yeah.
So Marcus Stroman tweets
this out. Yeah.
And it's Jose Bautista pitching. And Stroman says, this guy could be in a major league bullpen right now. No word of a lie.
Yeah,
who knows? You know what? If there's anyone that could do something like this,
I have no doubt.
Jose Bautista is the guy that could do it.
Yeah, I have no doubt. And the other thing too is think about the fact that he has never put the wear and tear on his arm that a pitcher would. This guy's arm could just potentially be fresh. Mm-hmm. Like you're not batting.
Right.
But this guy could be the Puerto Rican. Is he from Puerto Rico or is it
Dominican?
This guy could be the Dominican Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah,
bat, play right field. But
think about the
think about the
bullets that he would throw from right field and like right on the money. And
yep.
He had, believe me, when he threw that baseball at me.
Yeah, you felt know, that.
Well, he said it was an accident.
Yeah,
he goes, I wasn't aiming.
There's nothing accidental about that.
Oh, Barry, I'm sorry, I was not aiming for you. I'm like,
actually, it's pretty good, actually, to tell you.
And I'm like, that is BS.
Yeah.
Because if you were aiming for me, you would hit me.
Yes. Because you're Jose Bautista and you can thread the damn needle from right field. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Did we answer the question?
We may have. Along the way there might have been an answer. Yeah. I saw the video as well.
Yeah.
And the number one question that I get from listeners is, hey, what's happening with Jose Bautista? First of all, I have no insight into it. But secondly, yeah, what is happening with Jose Bautista?
Well, I think we see it. He's trying to reinvent himself as a pitcher.
Look.
And I think he's, again, I don't think this is just Marcus Stroman having fun. I think this is
legit.
This is real. Yeah.
I think this is legit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what, too? When the mass exodus from the Houston Astros happens, they're going to be looking for pitchers.
Hell yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Wouldn't that be an incredible story?
Also, too, think about this. And I'm not even being facetious about this, but think about the insight that this guy would have as a pitcher after being a batter for so long.
He is one of the smarter players.
Right? Like this guy would be like, okay, that batter's probably looking for this. I'm not going to give him that.
Right. He's going to outsmart him. Brilliant. The show continues to step up to the next level, Matt.
Maybe.
Yes. And we're plateauing just in time.
Thank God. It couldn't come fast enough.
As we welcome in Cal Quantrill.
Good.
Next here on
the show that we're doing.
Yes.
And now, In the Dugout with Barry Davis.
In the Dugout is brought to you by Timothy's Pub on Browns Line. Matthew, live music 6 nights a week. There are very few places that have music more than once a week. And Timothy's has bands 6 nights a week.
You know, I was going to say, there are more than 6 nights in the week. There are, in fact, 7.
Yes.
One would think you just finish strong and put the music on the 7th and call it a night, right?
You know, that's not a bad idea. It's like when you order a dozen donuts and they put 13 in the box.
Just like, this is the greatest baker's dozen, like, man.
These go to 11.
Yeah, they do, right? These go to 11.
Yes.
Yes.
So check them out. Great wings, great burgers, a great time. Timothy's Pub, Matthew. Well, listen, we doing this show, one of the cool things is the fact that sometimes we talk to people that we've never spoken to ever.
Yep. Blind date.
Right? And for you, this is what you experienced with Cal. I had a chance to talk to him for about 15 minutes at the Canadian baseball event the week before.
Well, you wouldn't have seen this.
No, but from the 10, 15 minutes we chatted, I'm telling myself, this is going to be one hell of an interview. Like, I cannot wait to get into this conversation with him.
He's great.
He's great. And you're going to enjoy it now. Well, Cal, before we begin, I want you to be very well aware that neither myself nor Matt are wearing a buzzer attached to our bodies today. So everything that we do is going to be completely spontaneous. No one is giving us any questions. Do you feel a little better about the situation now?
Awesome. Some good, honest podcasting.
I know because you play in the league, there's probably not a lot you can say, but from a player's standpoint, like, is your head just spinning following all the news that's going on?
I mean, I think like most of us players are fans of the game, like at heart. And, you know, maybe it seems like we are so separated from, you know, kind of like the fandom of our sport, but I don't know if that's actually true. I mean, I think that I'm following this along just as, you know, just as nervously, I guess, as the next fan. And, you know, I'm realizing, you know, how far reaching this is and kind of the devastating consequences of, you know, some of the actions that have happened in the last year or two. And it sucks. It sucks. That's, I mean, it's the only way to put it. It's bad for baseball. It's bad for us. I hate to see it. I hate that it's even a thing that we're talking about, but, you know, it'll all get cleaned up and we'll move on and our sport's great and we'll keep grinding.
I've had a lot of people ask me, like, how can a hitter adjust that quickly from getting a signal from center field to the clubhouse to a trash can or whatever. As a pitcher, can you tell us about how, like, one fraction of a second can make all the difference in the world for a hitter facing you?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm not going to speak to any, like, you know, instances or anything. I'm not well enough informed, nor have I been around long enough to, you know, talk too educatedly about those things. But I can definitely speak to, like, you know, hitting's hard, pitching's hard. Pitching becomes much harder if they know what you're about to throw.
Yeah.
And that's always been part of the game, right? There's always been a little bit of back and forth between pitchers and hitters. Hitters trying to gain a competitive advantage by, you know, picking up on things in your delivery or finding tells in the way that you prepare to throw a baseball so that they can prepare themselves then to hit that baseball, whatever one they think is coming. And that's always kind of been part of our game. And will continue to be part of our game. I think that the real issue here was, you know, crossing over, crossing some kind of line drawn in the sand and getting into the technology. But yeah, I mean, there's no doubt in my mind, like the best hitters in our sport, if they know what's coming, they're going to do a lot of damage. That's how good they are.
Mm-hmm. Cal, have you ever, and you don't have to cite any specific examples, but have you ever been on the mound and you're thinking, man, this guy's picking up on stuff. Is there something going on, or are they stealing signs? Do they know what's coming?
Because, or are you tipping?
Are you tipping? But have you ever been in a situation where you're like, either this guy has got some extrasensory perception or there's something going on?
Well, I have kind of a way of looking at this, and maybe it's a little aggressive, but generally speaking, when you're asking yourself that question, am I tipping or am I doing this? The first thing you should ask yourself is, do I actually just suck today? And they're smashing the ball and I'm just looking for an excuse.
Right. Like, okay.
That is the first thing you need to ask yourself, because it's really, really easy as a pitcher just to be like, oh, I must have changed something today. They're just seeing the ball really well. Well, if that's true, then why did you dominate the team 4 days ago and then dominate the next team 4 days after, right? Like, you got to really be honest with yourself. Like, am I actually tipping? And then if you are, you got to make an adjustment very quick, because the league will find your tip and it will be widespread extremely quickly. So kind of like differentiating between just sucking one day and getting your butt kicked or having like kind of an ongoing issue with your delivery is pretty vital before you go making any accusations.
But I guess it's also too a matter of finding level, because there might be some games where you're coming out and you're thinking, I am a god. Like, everything I throw is amazing. And then 2 days later or two starts later, you'll be like, I am the worst pitcher to ever take the mound. It must be this game of just trying to never get too high and never get too low.
Yeah. I mean, some of the best advice I've gotten from veteran players is always something along the lines of what you just said. Like, trying not to ride the wave so much as like determine your own wave. Like, you don't want to be going up and down too much, because there's games, like you said, where you go out and you throw four backup sliders in a row and the guy K's and you look like you're just the nastiest guy on earth. And then you go out the next game and you throw just absolutely filthy two-seamer down and away, backdoor, just all of the nasty in one, and he hits it for a double the other way. And you're like, oh my God, this is the stupidest sport ever. Like, it does not reward me in any way.
Well, it's like hitters too, that always look at the results as opposed to the at-bat, right? I mean, you could hit an incredible line drive the other way and the guy makes a great catch, you're 0-for-1, and you think, oh, that was a crappy at-bat. Likewise, if you're a pitcher, you could be having a great game and you're sawing off bats and there's a blooper here and a little squibbler there. Next thing you know, you're down 3-0 and you're like, what the hell, man? I've been pitching my ass off today.
Yeah, and for sure.
Right. And we always look at the results, but it's not always the results directly reflected on how well you pitched.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, over the course of the time, you have to believe that the results will, you know, indicate some kind of like, if you are doing things the right way or doing things the wrong way. But yeah, on any given day, baseball can be the worst. It can be the least rewarding, just like pain in the ass, just do everything right and get your butt kicked kind of sport. But I think like the best baseball players I've been around are really, really good at self-evaluation, at distinguishing between like, okay, was I actually good today and I got unlucky? Or, you know, was I just okay today and they took advantage of some mistakes? And like, until you can really look yourself in the mirror and determine whether or not you did the things the right way and prepared yourself and actually performed well, then it's almost nonsense to try and, you know, like judge things. Okay. Because like you said, like it's just so, sometimes it can feel so random.
Okay, Cal. So while we're talking about self-evaluating, and let's do the autopsy on this. Give us briefly your greatest I am a god moment. And then give us your, like, this has been the absolute worst that I have ever performed.
Yeah. You know, honestly, you could probably find one of those moments in every year. But I do remember specifically, like, I was like 15 or 16 and was made Team Canada. We were in Colombia. I don't even think I was supposed to pitch in like the final game against the US. And I came in and it literally did not matter. You could have had like Machado, Harper, like there was nothing. there was nobody who could hit me that day, and it was the greatest feeling ever. I remember awesome. It was like, I wasn't even good. I was like 85, 88, 89 with a changeup. And I think these guys were probably all just so geared up for nasty, and I just finessed my way through that lineup. And I remember just thinking, like, when I was done, like, man, if I don't go first overall, I'm an embarrassment, because that was so easy.
And then, so how about on the other side, the like, ugh, vomit in my mouth. Yeah.
I had a game this year against the Cubs where it really honestly felt like it was like, okay, well, what pitch can I throw where they'll hit it the soonest, because they're going to smash it eventually. So let's just find a way to make them make contact so I don't have to throw so many pitches. But yeah, and it didn't matter. It was like broken bats. It was hard hit balls. It was everything. It didn't matter if they made contact. We were not in the position to catch it.
Oh, yes. I'm looking at the stat right now. Would you like me to review it for you,
pal?
Oh,
yes. Let's hear this.
Not even a little bit. Okay. I should have like nightmares about that.
Hey, but you did have the previous time you pitched against the Cubs, you had 6 scoreless and 6 strikeouts, no walks. So,
there you go.
You know?
Yeah.
You know,
well, then why don't we go with the we'll go with that I was tipping then on that.
Okay, that was a tipping day.
Good, or yes. or the Cubs had borrowed some garbage cans that day. It had to be. Couldn't be new.
He can't comment on that. Yes.
Did you get to know Pat Henkin much? I know that, you know, your dad's career with the Blue Jays was pretty much at the end when you were a kid, but is Henkin a guy you ever got to know?
Yeah, I know Henkin pretty well.
Yeah,
I mean, obviously an exceptional pitcher, had an exceptional career. So I've bounced some ideas off him. He's a good guy.
But I'm just thinking mentally. The way you're talking, that's exactly the way Pat Henkin was. And when he pitched for the Jays, as a reporter that would go in with a microphone, we would always know that Henkin wouldn't bullshit us, right? If he had a shitty day, he would just be I suck today. I didn't have it. Whereas, you know, again, you hear some people that are just like, oh, I don't know what happened. You know, they were just seeing things well, you know. And I love the fact that you're willing to take responsibility for yourself. David Price is the same way, right? He always had that expression, if you don't like it, pitch better.
Right.
You know, yeah, it's pretty simple.
It's the truth. Like, in the end, like, we are, my profession is get hitters out. And when I don't do that, that means I'm not doing my job very well. And like, that is just the only way you can look at it. It's the only way you're going to grow and get any better, is just to say like, hey, I freaking suck. That's okay. I know that deep down I don't suck, and I'm going to find a way not to suck next time.
Yes.
But today I sucked. I did not give my team a chance to win. That is my only job. It's the only reason I am being paid to be here right now. So if I don't do it, then you got to be honest with yourself. And and part of that is being honest with the people around you. Not, oh, my shoulder is bothering me, or, oh, you know, I had something bad to eat before the game. Like, yeah, there's probably 10 pitchers didn't feel great that day. You think the pen felt good? That guy who came in after you only went an inning in the third is pitching on his third day in a row. Like, you know what I mean? The excuses get old for me after a while, because – you're not the only guy who doesn't feel great. You're not the only guy who had a tough lineup to face. Like, get over it, dude. You sucked that day. That's okay. You'll be better next time. That's just the only way to go about it. I'm convinced.
All right. When you envisioned pitching for the first time as a major leaguer in Toronto, when you kind of, you know, scoped this out and you went through, you envisioned it in your head, did you say to yourself, yeah, my team's going to score 19 runs that day? That was all part of the plan, right?
No, that was bull, man. They completely took away from my good start. Just overshadowed me.
They
completely.
Did. Because all, you know,
Naylor was hitting bombs. Everyone was just, it didn't matter.
He was home too, right?
Home runs all over the place. I was like, dang, guys, way to make my homecoming feel like unimportant.
Yeah. But this was huge for you. And you knew a couple of days ahead, right? Leading up to it. Not did you know, like, right after your previous start that you were going to get the start in Toronto that day?
Yeah, I was kind of – that was right at the beginning of my kind of getting called up. I was kind of playing like the sixth man in the rotation role. So it was like any time we had, you know, more than 5 games in a row without a break, I was up. That game actually is kind of what I think, you know, gave me the opportunity to stay up for the rest of the year or shortly thereafter. But, yeah, I had a pretty good sense that was the game I was coming to pitch in. So, you know, it was like – almost good and bad. Good, like plan out some things, actually prepare. Family was ready. Bad, because you're thinking about it for way too long.
Yeah. So did Andy Green sit down with you before that and just, you know, because he had to know that, you know, the scope of what you were facing. Was there any conversation, or was it just, you know, this is your start, and think of it as any other start?
Yeah, I mean, I hate to make it sound like less exciting or less romantic than it is.
Baseball then lie, is beautiful. Cal. Just lie but and make
I'm
up a great story.
I'm going to be honest with you. Like, nothing changed for me. And some of that is because I have a great support team. I have lots of really, really good people in my life that made coming home easy. But part of it is because I know myself, and I know that at times I've struggled in big moments because I have overthought about it. I have overanalyzed everything. I've played out every situation. I've let my brain do what my brain wants to do instead of just saying like, hey, I've trained hard. I'm athletic. Turn off the switch. Let's go to work. And that's why I think it went so much better, is because that's what I did. So it kind of ruins the story, but honestly, it made the day.
You did take at least a moment at some point to soak it in.
Oh yeah, after I got pulled and we were up by 26 runs, I was feeling pretty good then.
I mean, because this is a place that you, I mean, again,
grew up, right?
Well, yeah, kind of. Right? Like, let our listeners know, how old were you when your dad finished his career with the Jays?
So he got traded in, would it have been like 2002? So I was like 7 when we left Toronto. But like those first 6-7 years, like I was raised in the Sky Dome.
Yeah.
Like I refused to call it Rogers Center.
Good. Nobody likes to call it
I was raised there. I mean, I know how to get down into that clubhouse with no card access and just by like smiling at the right people. Like I know that place like the back of my hand. So it was cool coming back. And honestly, the coolest part was going back knowing that I had earned it myself. It's always cool going down
right.
with my dad. I will never forget those moments. But like, there was something rewarding about knowing like, okay, now I don't need my dad here. Like, I don't need anybody here. I'm here because I'm the right guy for the job. And that was like, to me, probably the most rewarding part of coming home.
Did it make it even easier too? And I don't know how much you focus on who's in the batter's box at the time, but I mean, this was not the Toronto Blue Jays that you knew and loved, right? I mean, you know, there was no Jose Bautista or, you know, Josh Donaldson or Edwin Encarnacion. I mean, this was a different type of Toronto Blue Jays team. Did it make any difference at all? Would you have liked to have faced the Jays in 2015?
Well, the thing is the Jays that I loved is kind of like, it's like the Shannon Stewart, Carlos Delgado, okay. Jose Cruz Jr. Like I'm before all those guys. I didn't even,
you're older than we thought.
Yeah. Like I'm like slightly post World Series Blue Jays team. That's my like guys right there. So for me, like whether or not I was facing, you know, Donaldson or Bautista or Biggio and Guerrero was, you know, pretty irrelevant. Actually I would argue that it was almost cooler facing the team they had last year because it was so young. And I mean, I'm sure, you know, I haven't faced all those guys in my career, but I've run into those guys or a lot of them kind of coming through the ranks and through minor baseball and just knowing their backstory. That almost to me was cooler than, you know, facing the big name guys of past Blue Jays teams.
Cal, speaking of the backstory, there's a nasty rumor out there, and you can confirm this for us, that you were drafted by the New York Yankees in the 26th round, but decided not to sign with them and go back to school because of your love of the Toronto Blue Jays.
Or your hate for the Yankees.
That is the nasty rumor. Now, I would like you to confirm it. There is no deny. You can only confirm, right? This is confirmation.
Well, you know what? Well, at the time, I was still a Blue Jays fan, so we can confirm it.
Okay, perfect.
But I think there may have been other more pressing reasons.
Yeah, well, whatever. We don't want to talk about those.
Matt really dislikes the Yankees with a passion.
That's great. I'm so happy because of this podcast. Now I only have, you know, 29 teams for the rest of my career.
That's
good. The Yankees will no longer mess with me.
Yeah, because there is a certain place in hell. There's a section of hell reserved for Yankees fans and Yankees players.
And you know, Cal, it was real tough for Matt because – you know, we both really love Jay Happ. He's a good friend of the show, and it really hurt to see
know
him.
That he's going to hell.
Yeah,
I know. I just
You know what? I think it's kind of funny once you're like involved in the sport the way that I am. Some of that like hatred for other teams that I definitely, you know, had growing up fades away when you realize that, you know, one day he might be begging for a job with that team.
Yeah.
But, you know, also some of it is just like, once you know guys around the league and on different teams and you know how hard they work and just like you're saying about Hap, like how much can you, you know, you can, I guess you can hate the Yankees, but you can't hate him because you know that he's a good guy and you just want to see him succeed regardless of where he plays. So it's like, it's kind of a weird thing. You still kind of keep some of those like childhood can't like you, but at the same time, like there's guys on those teams that I would absolutely cheer for. So it's kind of a weird situation.
Cal, is there a guy that you faced in the box that you're like, oh baby, I got to get through this one? Because I know if it was me, if I was a major league pitcher,
but you're not, and you never will be, Matt.
You're right.
And there's a reason why.
Thank you for crushing my soul, you bastard. Okay. But the point is, like, if it's, for instance, if I'm facing Mike Trout, I'm thinking to myself, I don't know where to put this because this guy's just going to destroy it wherever I put
it. Would that be before or after you pissed your pants?
Oh, that would be after. I'd pee my pants first.
Okay.
Because as Adam Sandler said, peeing your pants is cool. Right.
Okay.
Right. So,
for sure.
Okay. But is there a guy out there, not to, you know, pardon the pun, but not to tip your hand, but is there a guy out there that you face that you've been thinking, oh baby, this is the one?
You know what? Mine is a funny one. I'm not even 100% sure you're going to know who it is. It's Drew Jackson. I went to college with him.
Google.
He's played. He was with the Mariners. Then he was with the Dodgers. He debuted, or he played a little bit with the Orioles last year.
Sounds like a country singer, man.
I'm willing to go out on a limb here and say that in our careers have faced each other in the minor leagues and stuff. He is like somewhere in the order of like 11 for 14 off me. Holy. Like somewhere in there.
What?
And like with Pop too. So, and the worst part is I know him extremely well. Like I know him. I know his fiance. We went to school together. I consider him a really close friend, and I cannot get him out. So does not matter. I've tried all seven pitches. Nothing will get him out.
He's doing it just to spite you.
Yeah.
Yes. I would rather face Mike Trout than Drew Jackson at this point in my career.
He is stealing signs.
Yes, it totally.
Drew Jackson's doing that.
Only against you, though.
Only against you. Yeah. He has this whole elaborate system just for you.
See, he would gladly face me every single day for the rest of his career.
And this is why you've got to take a little advice from your dad, because I was telling you at the Canadian baseball event that I remember talking to your dad when he had to face Roberto Alomar as a member of the Orioles, and your dad got the start. It was one of those rare starts, and I asked him how he's going to face Alomar. He goes, well, I'm going to hit him, of course.
I did drill him. I already drilled him. It didn't help anything because then he stole second. Like, it was just like, there is no winning. Okay. Like, I put a bruise on Drew's back that is
maybe you should have put it on his foot.
Yeah. I don't even know how to combat this. I've tried all methods.
Okay.
I honestly think I'm just going to balk him to first or something next time.
Cal,
like, I don't even know something.
Cal, can we set up, like, and I'm not even kidding, can we set up a short little chat? Can we get both you and Drew on the line?
Oh, one day we got to do that.
And just, I want to hear this go back and forth. Yeah. Can you imagine?
We'll just let you guys take over the show.
Yeah. Remember that time?
We can absolutely try sometime. I can't guarantee anything today, but we can absolutely get Drew on the line.
I just want to hear that go down.
All right. I mentioned your pop, and we got to talk about your dad. And we've had a lot of players on the show whose dads played in the majors, because if you looked at the Blue Jays roster, there's like 15 or 20 of them on their 24-man roster, right? And, I mean, we've had Todd Stottlemyre on the show before, and his dad was a Hall of Famer. And the stories all vary, but many of them who grew up at the ballpark, they just grew up thinking, yeah, of course I'm going to play Major League Baseball. Was this always something that you knew you were going to do? Did it come to you later on? Because I know you lettered in a bunch of sports. You played hockey, of course. Like, when did this all become, this is what I want to do for my life?
I mean, there's definitely a certain amount of, like false, you know, confidence there. Like, oh, like, yeah, I mean, like, obviously I'm going to play in the big leagues one day. But I think that most of that confidence, maybe not, I shouldn't speak for all the guys, but I think it becomes, you understand, you know, how much harder it is once you are part of the system.
There is part one with Cal Quantrill. I was about to say Toronto Blue Jay Cal Quantrill.
Yeah, would it's that be eventually. Yes. Eventually.
Yes.
Right.
You know, free agency is still quite a few years away, but
yeah, he's got 7 years of control with the Padres, but whatever.
If you liked what you just heard from Cal Quantrill, you can hear more. And to do that, though, you have to be a part of the Out of the Park family, Matthew. And how could someone do that?
Pretty simple. NSRmedia.ca. Click on Become a Member. You know, we've had some new members sign up lately, and they're all raving. They're all saying, this thing's great.
Yeah.
Because we truly do try to... Here's what happens is we're not shortchanging the free show, but what we do is we intentionally try to steer the good stuff into the second half of the show. And it's pretty simple to do that. it's like having a date with somebody for the first time, right? You sort of warm up into the conversation. And then by the time you get about 50% of the way into the conversation, okay, now we're getting to it. Okay, this girl likes snakes. She likes to shove Q-tips up her nose, whatever, weird crap. That's the stuff that you want to hear. That's what we get into on the member shows, because we've spent the first 50% of the interview just chatting and warming the person up. And then we get into snakes and latex and all kinds of weird craziness on the exactly. the member show, right?
So that what Matt's saying is, if you liked part one, you're going to love part two.
Weird, crazy. Cal Quantrill reveals what he spent his signing bonus on. It'll blow your mind. This week's Out of the Park poll is brought to you by the co-host of Out of the Court, Adam Goodman, and his website, aglaw.ca. Look, if you're in like criminal trouble or any sort of trouble, even if you're in trouble with your mom, best to just call Adam Goodman.
And so happy to say that we got our first show of 2020 up of Out of the Court. We've got a bunch of new ones that we're doing. And
what are you guys covering? What's the...
This week... Well, what do you think?
Probably the fact that Emma Baccalieri has requested a congressional oversight hearing on the Astros cheating. That could be one thing.
Possibly. Yes.
Or maybe something
and,
else.
And this is near and dear to the hearts of these two guys.
Oh, because they're baseball fans
big,
too.
Big baseball fans. Yeah. So be sure to check out Out of the Court.
Your votes have been tabulated. Time now for Barry's Fair or Foul poll results.
This is a good one. We'll talk about this. Check this out. This is the Out of the Park poll this week. They voted on the Blue Jays' all-time best left fielder.
Yes.
Let's reiterate this.
Yes.
Left.
Yes.
LF.
Yes.
Lazy
effort. Yes.
Okay. Yes. Four choices. First, Joe Carter. Second, George Bell. Third, Kendy Maldonado. And the fourth was other, please name. And the winner, by the slimmest of margins, 48.7%, was Mr. George Bell. Now, Joe Carter,
yes,
many believe, would be best known as a right fielder. There was some.
Nope.
Okay. Well, there was some discussion as to whether or not that should have been cleaned up.
Nope.
Okay. Yeah. Now, he did spend the majority of his time
in left field.
In left.
Yes.
Yeah.
He did play a number of games in right.
You ever chat it with Joe?
Yeah. I mean, he was there the first year I started covering the Jays.
Really?
So I dealt with him. One of the first post-game interviews I ever did was with Joe.
He seems like a really affable guy.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Yeah. There's some off-air chat that's going to happen, huh? Gotcha.
All right. We want to thank Cal Quantrill for joining us and look forward to part two, which you can hear on Wednesday. Matthew.
Yes. Proceed.
Do me a favor.
Yeah, I always.
Don't ever come to this place and high and do a show.
I will not.
Everyone
yes,
will
I
know.
Will be sure to never, I, Matthew McFarland, ever come to Barry Davis's place and use recreational narcotics and besmirch the absolute sanctity of this thing that we have created that is Out of the Park. Okay?
It's medicinal, by the way.
Because you are a...
medicinal user.
You are a hot mess.
Folks, yeah, thank you so much for putting up with Matt.
Yeah.
And making
Not
us
me.
A part of your week.
You've been listening to Out of the Park with Barry Davis. Thanks for joining us. Get home safely and see you next time.